Welcome to the Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. With all the things that are going on around us, the sickness, disease, the crime, the political environment, the believers should not get thrown off from what God wants us to do. It was Paul who said we should have a goal of pleasing God. Have you thought about what your goal is in your Christian walk? How do we please God? We present ourselves to Him completely and totally. He wants us to make a difference in the world. Let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify the Father. He wants us to be an ambassador for Him, sharing the gospel in this dark hour so other people can come out of darkness into His marvelous light. Join us today as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word.
But when the crew gets afraid, it's a bad storm. In fact, when the crew start praying, you better start praying right along with them. You better call on your God. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the load. But look at this. But Jonah had gone below deck where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. Now, you know Jonah had issues. I told you he had issues. Look at what he's saying. My God is able. I'm not afraid because my Lord will take care of me. I don't know what he was thinking about, but everybody else is afraid. They're praying to God. They're throwing the cargo overboard, and Jonah goes down and take a nap. He acted like there was nothing wrong. He knew what was going on, but he acted like nothing wrong. It ain't me. Sometimes it's not readily apparent that our troubles are connected to our disobedience. He acted like he didn't know, he couldn't connect the dots. I wonder what's wrong. It is kind of stormy out there, raining, and let me just go take a sleep. I'm on the ship. I can't do nothing. Might as well just rest. Let me put it this way. When we run away from God's purposes, we will never have peace in our life. We're going to always have that disturbance in our life when we're running away from what God has instructed us to do. Look at verse 6. The captain went to Jonah and said, "Now how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. You know, now even the folks that didn't believe in God knew something was bad wrong. They were like, you know, we've been sailing this ship on this sea for a long time. This is not the kind of storm that has ever come up here. Something is going on that's out of the ordinary. Something is going on, and we're going to do everything we can find out to find what the nature of this calamity is. They say somebody must be on here that's messed up. So they ask Jonah, "Tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" See, you can get around people. When you're a person of God, you get around folks, they know you don't belong in there with them. So what are you doing in the club? You don't look like you even belong here. You in there trying to get your dance on, trying to get your party on. You done said you was saved. You in there trying to get your little drink. They be like, "You look kind of awkward. What are you doing in here? You don't belong here. You're not in here with us." That ain't never happened to none of y'all. And y'all ain't going to confess that, is you? But spirits know spirits. And if you got the Spirit of God in you, the demonic forces will know something's wrong with you. You're a little strange. Now, somebody should have been saying that you're strange on your job. The unbelievers ought to say you're different. Okay, now if that never happened, you might need to come back to the altar. "Lord, change me." Because the saved are different from the unsaved. The holy are different from the unholy. The righteous are different from the unrighteous. And if there's no different than you, than the unrighteousness, you probably don't belong to God. But they said, who are you? Where you come from? Now, I wonder if they said that to everybody. Probably not. But they said, you're different. Something's going on with you. Who are you? Where you come from? What's going on here? He said, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Verse 10 says, and this terrified them. And they asked, now what have you done? If your God is in charge of the sea and in the land, what did you do? They knew he was running away for the Lord because he already told them. He got on board. You know, I'm running away from the Lord, you know. Where you going? I'm going down to Tarshish. Why are you going there? I'm running away from the Lord. They probably didn't think there was a problem till there was a problem. He had already told them, not only is he running away from the Lord, he's conscious of the fact that he's running away from the Lord, and he's telling other folk, I'm running away from the Lord. I ain't going to, he wants me to go to Nineveh. I ain't going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish. I don't want to go over there to where my co-workers are going. I'm going to go over there where the fellowship is because they're eating. I'm going to go to the church. They're having a fellowship. I don't want to go. Lord said, no, go over there. Your co-workers, they're having a party. I want you to go over there and talk to them. I don't want to go over there. I'm going to go to the fellowship where people have lacked same spirit. I want to go to the party where they are and tell them that they need to get their life right. You know what they might say to me if I tell them that? I'm going over to the fellowship. So when you walk into the fellowship, everybody, hey, how you doing? We love you with the love of the Lord. How are you? I'm too blessed to be stressed. Verse 11 says, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the seas calm down for us? Now listen to this. I'm telling you, this man has some issues. Verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come up on you. Jonah decided that he would just die and end it all. Just throw me into the sea. He didn't say, let me go to God and just talk to him. Let me pray. He's the prophet. He's not a new believer. He knows God. He talks to God, but he said, throw me in the sea. The enemy will have you to believe that you're in such a place that God will never use you again. He'll talk to you, say, you might as well just give up, just fold your tent and just begin to just get off the scene because God ain't going to use you. You done messed up big time. He's not going to use you. That's a lie from the devil. Just say, I know I was on my way to Tarshish, but I can turn it around. He's going to have you going off into the deep end instead of calling on God. Jonah didn't say, let me call on God. He said, just throw me over. Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. So the men said, no, we're not going to throw you overboard. We're going to try to make it back. We know what you did. We're going to try to let you off. Then they cried to the Lord, oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, oh Lord, have done as you please. They said, we don't want to throw him overboard, but that looks like that's the only way we're going to survive. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered sacrifices to the Lord and made vows to him. So they threw Jonah over, and they worshiped the Lord. Verse 17 says this, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now here's Jonah. Throw me overboard. That's all. It'll end it for you. It'll end it for me. Now, while Jonah was getting ready for the end, God was getting ready for a new beginning. Jonah says, I told him I ain't going to Nineveh. God said, you just don't know yet. when God has something he wants to do through you, you might have a tough time when you disobey him, but God can resurrect you. There were still thousands of people in Nineveh that need to hear the word of God. God says, it's not about you, Jonah. It's about the people I'm trying to reach. Now, listen to this. God could use somebody else. And a lot of us want him to. God could use somebody else to go to your Nineveh. And a lot of us want him to use somebody else. But God said, that's not how I work. I called you. That's not how that worked. I saved you. I called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. I have an assignment for you, and you're going to have to be the one to do it. Okay, y'all don't hear me yet. Y'all still thinking, I can't do that. I can't do that. I wouldn't have called you if you couldn't do it. So don't let the enemy tell you he can't use me. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. God just say, listen, God didn't give Jonah a lot of instructions. He said, just go preach to the folk. Preach against it. He didn't even tell him what to say. He just said, preach against it. Jonah's in the water. He think he's going down. And God had a big fish following the ship. He told the fish, Jonah's on that ship. I want you to follow him. You know how they do in the movie? Follow that car. Jonah, the Lord said, follow that ship. So the big fish following the ship. And the fish was, you know, didn't know what was going on. But when he saw Jonah come over, he was thinking, wow, this is pretty good. I got a nice meal out of this. So a little hot sauce. But look at what happened. From inside the fish, chapter 2, verse 1 says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Now you decide to pray. All right? You don't hear him praying no time until he gets inside the fish. And I told you he was like us. Sometimes we're not going to get before the Lord until we're in a situation we can't get ourselves out of. Oh, Lord, hear my cry. Now he's inside the fish. Some of us will never get serious for God until we have gone as low as we can go. And that's when we're going to get serious for God. We've gone as low as we can go. I'm thinking about it now. Just put yourself in Jonah. Now he's inside this fish. And with whatever else is inside the fish, the digestive fluids and whatever else the fish has eaten and digesting. And it's a big fish. He's walking around. Maybe he's in the dining area. He's in this fish. So I don't know what the fish is thinking. He said, I ain't never ate nothing that started making noise and praying. Jonah is praying inside this fish and walking around and probably looking at stuff on the inside and probably saying, what is this? And, you know, messing with stuff and messing with the fish's organs and things, freezing stuff, and the fish probably saying, what is going on the inside? The fish eventually had an upset stomach, Dr. Hill. In verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. This is part of his prayer. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So Jonah's praying. I left out most of his prayer. Most of chapter 2 was his prayer. He's praying, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. God says, okay. And the fish had an upset stomach. And Jonah came up in the vomit. What a cruise, Jonah. It doesn't matter where you are. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you are right now. When you decide to obey God, God can bring you out. I don't care what you're into right now. So what I want you to start thinking about is, where are you? Are you on that road to Nineveh that God has assigned you to? Or are you on your road to your cruise and you're trying to get down to Tarsus? When you're following God, God will bring you out of whatever situation you are in. Whatever. Whatever. The enemy has talked to you, said, you can't get out of this. Look at this. You can't get out of this. God will bring you out of your sickness. when you decide to obey God. He'll heal you when you decide to obey him. He'll deliver you when you decide to obey him. He'll set you free when you decide to obey him. Jonah had to cross a great distance on the land to get to Joppa, because Joppa was on the coast. That's where he got on the cruise ship. So when he was vomited back up, he had to walk a long distance to get to Nineveh. So look at him. What does he look like? What did people say to Jonah when they first saw him on the beach? Dude, what happened to you? You ain't gonna believe this, man. And that's what he said, you ain't gonna believe this. Look at chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Guess what God told him the second time? The same thing he told him the first time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. God doesn't change his purpose just because you took a detour. Don't go back and say, okay, Lord, is it Nineveh or is it somewhere else you want me to go? No, it's Nineveh. Go back where I told you to go. The people still need to hear the word. And so just do like I asked you to do. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. When God has a gift and a calling for you, he doesn't take it back and say, you know what? I changed my mind. Never mind. I'm not going to use you for that. No, when he has a gift and a calling for you, you know who it's for? It's for you, not somebody else. He called you because he wanted you. He wants to use you. You have a personality that he wants to use. You have a temperament that he wanted to use. You have a style that he wants to use. God wants to use you in the place that he sends you. It may take a while for you to get yourself together. You may have thought that you've been beat up by the storms of your life, but God still has an assignment that's waiting for you. Look at what it happens as we close out this. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. 40 more days. Now, I don't know how many days it was when God first told him. He may have had 60 days. But he said, 40 more and you're going to be destroyed. Look at verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They heard from Jonah and they believed him. You may think that folks don't want to hear what you got to say. But when God is speaking to you and through you, somebody wants to hear it. Somebody needs that word of deliverance. Somebody needs that word of salvation. God is sending you out so he can reach them, and his word will not return void when you are obedient to God and let him use your life. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man or beast or herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. He declared a fast for everybody and everything. They heard the word of God. They responded to the word of God. They believed that destruction was coming. And we're going to do everything we can to have God's grace and mercy. He said, everybody fast. The children, the animals. I better not see a dog eating. Let everything fast and pray. Secondly, he said, let everyone call on God urgently and let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Oh Lord, what would happen if we gave up our evil ways and our violence in our country? Our prisons are overcrowded. I was just in one this past week, and I'm just looking at all these men as I'm walking down through that prison in Darrington, and I'm looking at all these men that look like my cousins and my brothers and my nephews. and my uncles and my grandfathers and grandchildren. Why is there so many of us in here? And they belong to us. Why is this place at capacity? This is maximum security. And the guard looks at me and said, the saddest thing in here is to see one of these 19-year-old young men come in here with life without parole. Who's talking to them? Where have they heard the message? Have they even heard the message? Who's preaching to them? Who's saying, repent? When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God already have the way made to deliver people out of their sin. But how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I believe God has a Nineveh for each of us to be engaged with. Where is your Nineveh? Ask the Lord that, would you? Today, say, Lord, where is my Nineveh? Where is my Nineveh? Come on, ask him. Say, Lord, where is my Nineveh? The place that you want me to be. And then the question is, when you find out, where are you going to go, to Nineveh? Or are you going to keep heading toward Tarshish? Where is my Nineveh? Now notice, God didn't send every prophet to Nineveh. He just sent Jonah. All of us are not going to the same place. He has a different assignment for each of us. But he does have an assignment for us. And if we're not going now, when will we go? Every day is getting darker. The time is running out. Jonah said, you got 40 days. If he'd have been 20 days later, they'd have had 20. The time is running out. Somebody need to hear the word of the Lord from you. Don't say that ain't me. Yeah, that's you. He called you. You're the only one in here on your job. You got to tell them. You got to talk to them. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God unto salvation. And he's looking for believers who are not ashamed, believers who will stand up to the task, believers who will say, call on me and I will obey and I will say what you want me to say, where you want me to say it. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for us to come and have another church service, to come and have another fellowship. He's looking for us to rise up and go to the place where his word will make a difference in our lives.
This is Jared G. Martin, and again, as always, I am so thankful for the time you spend with us on this broadcast. We've been sharing the Word of God with you today to encourage you to allow God to use your life as He wants to use your life, to be an ambassador for Him, to let your light shine. Is it your goal to please God in every way and to walk worthy before Him? I ask you to consider making it your goal today. Say to God that you will follow him with your whole heart and commit your whole life to him now. If you would like to hear today's message again in its entirety, go to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. That's The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can hear today's message as well as previous messages that have been broadcast on this station. Or visit us online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. If you made a decision for Christ today and would just like someone to join you in prayer, call our prayer line number at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. If you're looking for a Bible bookstore, we have The Beacon right here on our campus at The Light of the World. You can get Bibles, study material, communion supplies, offering envelopes, or whatever you need for your ministry. Call The Beacon at 281-441-2885. Again, that's 281-441-2885. Now for The Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you and we'll be with you again next time.